This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And that brings us to 7:07. In the meantime, we're going to talk about a proposal that has come from a group of opposition MPs. And the idea is to address the concerns of contract workers, basically people who are hired by private contractors, so cleaners, gardeners, support staff, security guards and the like. So essentially, this group of MPs, including Klang MP Charles Santiago and Lembah Pantai MP Fahmi Fadzil, are asking the government to absorb contract workers into the civil service. This way, they'll be guaranteed EPF contributions, enjoy minimum wage, and so on. Currently, of course, a lot of them lack a number of safety nets, and they are one of the most vulnerable groups in the country. They get paid below that minimum wage. They work for employers who refuse EPF contributions. They don't always have the safety net that is SOCSO. And they are a sizable group because contract workers form a large part of the informal sector, or 40% of the economy. So we wanted to look more closely at this proposal, and we're going to be speaking with two guests. So later on, you'll be hearing from Professor Dr. Raja Rasia, Distinguished Professor of Economics at University Malaya. Right now, though, on the line with us is Sivaranjani Manikam, who is the Secretary at the Government Contract Workers Alliance, or JPKK. Siva, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi. Thank you.
So can you talk to us about the concerns of contract workers and how their rights are different from permanent staff in the public sector?
Okay, firstly, I would like to address when we talk about the contract work. What does ILO says, the International Labour Organization standard? When you say contract staff, it is more on temporary basis. That means the job is like a temporary job. But what we are talking today is like work like cleaners, and the security guards and the gardeners who are in the government premises like the schools and then the hospitals. And these are the permanent jobs. And permanent jobs are being outsourced by the government currently, and then this has been handled by the private companies by giving them short-term contracts, like 2 years once and 3 years once. So this makes their life in a bad condition. How we can say it, like every 2 years, these workers may lose the job. Or every 2 years or 3 years, they will become a new worker in the same premises that they were working for past 10 years. And there's no job security at all. And these are the workers claimed as a contract workers. But by nature, if we see the work that they are doing, is the permanent nature of the job. And by giving out the contracts to the private companies, what's happening to that? I think there's an issue becoming like not only the workers are losing the basic benefits, like the salary increments, they will not be getting salary increments, they always will be stay on the lower pay. And so, and also they will not be enjoying like other benefits like annual leave increase and also medical benefits. And the most important is the years of the employment. The service itself, they will not be enjoyed at all because every 3 years they will become a new worker or new into that premises. And most of the contractors, after they're getting the contracts from the government, what they are doing, actually there's a lot of victimizations happening. And we have been receiving like a lot of cases from these contract workers, like many contractors are not giving salaries for few months and they're not even deducting like an EPF and SOCSO to these workers. So these are the issues that we have been seeing among these contract workers. And particularly in the JPKK currently involved in the schools and also in the hospitals, the contract workers that dealing with the cleaning jobs, cleaners, and also the security guards.
So if contract workers were to be absorbed into the public sector, how would this help matters? Can you talk to us about those arguments?
This is something not that very new, what we are talking today. Because these workers, before 1997, these workers was under the government service. And what happened 1997, when Dr. Mahathir introduced the prioritization policy into the government sectors, that's where these services has been taken off from the government and then given to the private companies. So that's where the problem started. Actually, the initial The reason was given under the prioritization policy, these services will make it more efficient. It will make it more efficient, and then the government can save the cost by contracting out these services. But in reality, today when we see, because the JPKK also have conducted one research 2 months ago, and we found that this system, the contract system, is really taking a lot of cost. Actually, government is spending more. If the government can go back, absorb them into the government services, actually they can save about 200 million. So if it's a policy, which is really like a good policy, why we want to ask for change it, right? Because this is creating a lot of problems. And also it is not like really saving, and it is not really giving a good quality in terms of the services, because many contractors are not performing. And also the second one is like takes up a big amount of money is going out from the government to these private companies. But by absorbing these workers into the government services, actually they can save about 200 million.
So are you optimistic that this will happen? I mean, what has it been like in the past talking about this with the government?
Okay, we have been like engaging with the government. If in the past, there's some key ministries that we have been talking about this policy changes. That means we are talking about the plight of the contract workers and also like discussing about the absorbing them into the government services, like Ministry of Education. We have submitted a memorandum, and then we had we had a good engagement with the Ministry of Education when the Pakatan Harapan was in power, especially Dr. YB Mazri. And then it was some promising outcome was almost come, but before that the government fall. And then now we have been starting back. We have submitted the memorandum on 27 November, and also we have submitted the memorandum to the Ministry of Health on 3rd of December. And tomorrow we are going to the Ministry of Finance to submit our research findings, and also the, together with the memorandum to look into our proposal and our arguments what is the benefit to the government and also what is the benefit to the workers by changing this policy, by absorbing these contract workers into the government services. Apart from this, we are also there's other efforts is going on, ongoing efforts, there's a petition is going around to ask for the demand that absorbing these contract workers into the government. And those who are listening to this show, we really urge you to go into our Facebook page, Jaringan Pekerja Kontrak Kerajaan, and please support the petition, because we are planning to submit the petition and the memorandum to the Prime Minister in January next year. And also, we are also engaging with CSOs, civil society organizations, to come on board together with us to get into this, advocating this policy changes. And also, we recently launched this campaign in the north, in Para, and also we are planning to launch the campaign in the south, in Johor, in coming 2 weeks' time. So these are the efforts in the plan, and also some of them have already been happened. Actually, this is very important. Why this is something very important to us, because those workers who are involved in these sectors, like cleaning and then security guards, these are the real B40 workers who are really living in the minimum wage.
Siva, thank you so much for speaking with us and for sharing that perspective.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. That was Siva Ranjini Manikam, secretary at the Jaringan Pekerja Kontrak Kerajaan, or the Government Contract Workers Alliance. After this, we're also going to be speaking with Professor Dr. Raja Rasya, who's the Distinguished Professor of Economics at University Malaya, to get his views on this. If you'd like to share your thoughts on this move to get the government to absorb contract workers to be part of the civil service, let us know and keep it here on the Evening Edition, PFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:19 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We are talking about a call for the government to absorb contract workers into becoming permanent staff in the public sector to give more job security, more economic security overall. And we're now crossing over to Professor Dr. Rajarasia, Distinguished Professor of Economics at University of Malaya. Prof, great to have you on the show again. So what are the rights and protections that contract workers currently have?
Very little. It depends on what employers say in there, because much of what they have is really transient in nature, except that the contract workers will have the same rights as any others on, except, I mean, the point is they will have fewer days to take leave in a year, including emergency leave. And in that sense, the rights accorded to them will be quite similar. And an employer cannot really sack them right away. These are all conditions that they enjoy, which is often abused. So they should bring it all these things to the authorities and expect that justice is done.
And we heard some of this earlier from our other guests, but maybe you could also share, how does their status as contract workers make them particularly vulnerable?
When they're not permanent, obviously, it all depends on particular levels of job. If a person is a lecturer and so on, then a contract lecturer would obviously be allowed to work for a month. Likewise, the employer cannot really sack a lecturer within that month. And if he or she is sacked, then they will have to pay the salary equivalent to a month. Likewise, similar things would hold as far as regulations are concerned for other workers. Now, the fact that you don't have a permanent job means that the employer enjoys the right to sack, except that the employer, if taken to task, will have to pay a month equivalent of that wage.
So let's talk about this proposal. Do you think it would be a good move to absorb contract workers into public service, and would it address these concerns about job and economic security?
One of the problems we have here is the Employment Act quite clearly stipulates, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think it has changed. It stipulates that if a person has been hired for a period, I think at least 6 months, and continues to be hired from that period, then obviously there is justification that work can no longer be classified as temporary, and therefore employers are required to hire them permanently. Now, the idea of keeping them as contract workers typically is done by employers who themselves do not see, do not take a long-term vision about using workers as assets of the firm. Now, this is widespread among defensive firms that are not likely to be ambitious in terms of building their human capital. So what it actually means is that if you have contract workers working elsewhere, especially if they are Malaysians, because we have a tendency to have contract workers taking care of cleaning, for example, and it's most of the time done by foreigners. Now, the justification then was we did not have Malaysians to do it. Now, that doesn't apply to many other jobs that we have here. So if you find, and again, this is rampant, I have seen in a number of organizations, I have seen contract workers working there year in, year out. In fact, even lecturers had that experience before. Now, that shouldn't be done. That shouldn't be done. And therefore, the idea of hiring contract workers as permanent workers, especially if the job is seen to be one that is necessary over a period of time, then that's the right way to go.
So why then hasn't this been done previously?
Sometimes, in my understanding, having gone through organizations, even getting involved in some advisory roles, my feeling is it's often the case that the heads of departments or the person in charge, the supervisors dealing with, for example, lower range jobs, they have a tendency not to follow these principles. Some of them are not aloof. Some of them are not aware of it. Some of them are just not concerned. Now, I think the idea of doing away with such problems will be to make them accountable. So if for example, a worker complained that he or she has been working for a year or two, been working for 6 years, say, and have remained a contract worker, and yet their KPI, key performance index, shows that they are performers, then one will have to have those heads of departments accountable. Currently, we don't face that. We don't seem to have that sort of problem, even though KPIs have been established by government for a long time, since, especially when the Pomandu Ministry came into play. But more often than not, they actually seem to mask what really happens.
So according to Tanjung Malim MP Chang Lee Kang, reabsorbing outsourced contract workers into the public service could save the government up to 500 million ringgit. Could you tell us more?
I saw this message that was sent to me, but it didn't really explain very much. Now, how will that, because it assumes that these workers are earning more by being contract workers. Now, there are cases when contract workers earn more. If it means that they follow certain rules, it's just like if I were to give, this is a simple analogy one can actually have. If I were to have a long-term project, to do a consultancy, monthly overheads I will get will be much less compared to, say, if I've given 1 month one-off to do something. Now, if that's the sort of contract he's talking about, then yes, the government is likely to save money. But I think most of the time it doesn't apply that way. Most of the time, a person who's permanently employed will have other kinds of perks, including EPF goes to everyone. If it's properly emphasized, if properly exercised, then it must include also the contract workers. But you will have other schemes like pensionable schemes, access to health benefits, all of which are much less if you're a contract worker in many circumstances. So I don't exactly know, understand the extent to which he has grasped these things, or whether he's taking a specific segment of contract workers.
And finally, what other measures do you think would help ensure that contract workers do have access to job security?
I think the most important thing is to have proper job planning. The idea, theoretically, why contract workers are allowed is if an employer, and this should not come from an employer, because then you have a bias asymmetric situation of an employer taking advantage of employees. Now, this will be the Keynesian way of expressing things, simply because you can't assume that each one of them have equal access to information, each one of them have equal urge to seek that information, each one of them has the power to act. The employee against the employer, employer against the employee. Now, in reality, that doesn't really work, as what Keynes often emphasized. Now, in this case here, I think what is important here is, it is important that the authorities concerned, because at all times, there will always be an attempt to abuse the system. So what it actually means is that the authorities, using legal measures, must ensure that planning is done properly, so that if it means that one can assume this is the allocation that should come, this is the number of jobs they should have in order to carry out a certain task, that should be defined and made permanent. Unless they feel that the task that they have put up is a transient one, it's a temporary one, that's one. Second, you can always have, within this capitalist system that we have, that is why we have social protection, because invariably we'll have crisis of some kind, or either the economy contracts for reasons of external shocks, or for reasons simply because there's a shortfall between demand and supply for that particular task. So because of that, you will tend to have contract workers to fill that gap. Now, if it means that planning has been done properly, effectively, then you will keep that to a minimum. Unfortunately, if planning is not done effectively, then you will have that many more contract workers who should actually be permanent in the job, in the respective profession. So I would really call for that as the most important part. Second, I think the rules governing contract workers should be made much more fair, that it's comparable to those of permanent workers. Otherwise, there is a tendency for employers to abuse that and prefer having contract workers. That even includes foreign workers. There's a tendency to have them because they have a much greater ability to hire and fire. So I feel these two things should be honored.
Prof, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening. That was Professor Dr. Raja Rasia, Distinguished Professor of Economics at University Malaya, talking about a proposal that has come through from opposition MPs as well as JPKK, and that would be to absorb contract staff into public service. You can let us know what you think. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.